Chinese president officially welcomes his Iranian counterpart, Ibrahim Raisi, as Beijing and Tehran seek to strengthen bilateral ties. The Kremlin says that NATO is demonstrating its hostility toward Moscow every day and has become more and more involved in the Ukraine conflict. At least three people are killed and five injured after a gunman opens fire on a university campus in the U.S. state of Michigan. This is World News. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi has been officially welcomed after arriving in Beijing for a state visit aimed at building up bilateral ties. A short while ago, he was received by his Chinese counterpart, Xi Jinping, in an official ceremony. It was held at the premises of China's National Congress. There, the national anthems of the two countries rang out before delegations began their talks. Back in Tehran, Raisi underlined that Iran is in step with China when it comes to countering unilateralism.
Both Iran and China are opposed to unilateralism and support political independence around the world. This shared stance has brought the two countries close enough that they can have good political and economic cooperation at regional and international levels.
Raisi says he'll focus the implementation of the 25-year strategic cooperation agreement signed with China 2 years ago. Tehran and Beijing already enjoy close relations, but there is still much room in his idea for expanding cooperation in different sectors, including trade and economy. The president says that Iran's accession to the Shanghai Cooperation Organization has paved the way for closer relations with China. In our news review program a short while ago, we've discussed in depth the significance of the Iranian president's visit to China. And here's what our guests had to say.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guest to this news review. Out of Tehran, Fuad Izzadi, academic and political analyst, and out of Kitchener, Ontario, Robert Fatina, author and journalist. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Tehran with Mr. Izzadi. Your perspective on the significance of this trip at this time?
You know, we are moving towards a multipolar world. China, it seems, is going to be one of the poles in the new world order. Iran has the potential to be a pole in the new world order. And the cooperation of these countries that are resisting U.S. hegemony, is quite important. It's beneficial for both sides. Iran is obviously under heavy sanctions from the United States, so having a close economic linkage with China is going to be good for Iran. And China is heavily dependent on energy resources of the Persian Gulf. And Iran is the only country that its foreign policy is not dictated from Washington. Other countries in this part of the world are heavily influenced by the United States. That's something that Chinese leaders understand. And so it's beneficial for them to make sure that they have good relations with Iran. It's a win-win situation. And I think in the next 3 days, we will see the benefits of this cooperation presented to the public and to the international observers.
Well, Robert Fatina, your take, it almost appears as if the United States is forcing more and more alliances because of the unilateral policies that it has, the sanctions, and all-out pressure on so many countries. Your assessment of the United States' moves that perhaps actually encourages and enforces many of these type alliances?
Yes, certainly. Things like the sanctions against Iran, the aggressive rhetoric against China, these have the opposite effect of what the United States wants them to have. When the United States sanctioned Iran, it hoped that the Iranian government would come back to the bargaining table. That didn't happen. Instead, Iran went elsewhere, in this case to China, to establish alliances. They'll be military, they'll be economical. They will be things that will benefit the people of Iran, which is what the Iranian government should do. So the U.S. is, in wanting to ostracize different countries, it's causing them to join together into alliances, which will help them become more powerful, will become more of a check to the United States, which is a very good thing, because the United States for so many decades has just operated around the world in a very destructive and very negative manner. It's estimated to have killed at least 20 million people since the end of World War II. And Iran and China, with their growing alliances, can act as a check to that, because the U.S. may be a little less willing to engage in some military misadventures anywhere in the world, knowing that it will be opposed to by this powerful new union. So the United States government, as usual, is not doing anything that benefits its own people or the people of the world. In fact, it acts to their detriment on a regular basis.
Okay, and on that note, I appreciate both of you being with me here on this news review of what is the academic and political analyst out of Tehran, Robert Fantina, author and journalist out of Ontario. Thanks you so much for being with us on this news review.
Now moving on, a week after a powerful quake hit Syria and Turkey, the two countries are still overwhelmed by grief. It's punctuated by rare moments of joy as rescuers pull out people alive from the rubble of collapsed buildings. In one of the latest such moments, a girl was rescued in Turkey's Kahramanmaraş province. There were similar heartwarming scenes in Hatay and Adıyaman provinces. Hopes, however, for finding many more survivors are quickly fading in cold temperatures. Such expectations are even lower across the border in war-torn Syria that lacks the rescue and relief equipment. In Aleppo, the UN aid chief said that the rescue phase was coming to a close. The focus is now switching to shelter, food, and schooling. Death toll from the 7.8 magnitude quake last Monday and massive tremor just hours later now stands at above 37,000. Nearly 32,000 fatalities are confirmed in Turkey. Rashan Saglam says that there could be more people alive under the rubble, despite the hope for finding them are fading away 7 days after the catastrophe.
Actually, miracles are still happening, especially in the city of Adıyaman or the province of Adıyaman. And a man and his son were rescued after 177 hours. A four-year-old boy was rescued after 178 hours, also after 177 hours, a young man, 35 years old, in Adıyaman was rescued, and in Antakya, a woman was rescued after 177 hours. So miracles are still happening, and the Turkish rescue teams are still continuing to search for people alive under the debris. They still have hope, especially with this weather. It is easier with the cold weather for people to stay alive more under the debris. Usually it is 7 days after an earthquake happens, but in hotter areas or hotter weathers. Now, due to the cold weather and sometimes due to the snow and rain, people under the debris in a way or another are finding it easier to breathe, to stay alive. And some of them said that they were drinking from the water coming inside to under the debris, to them under the debris from the snow that was falling. So this is a miracle coming from God.
Now, the UN chief says that Syria has agreed to two more border crossings to allow an aid into militant-held areas affected by last week's devastating earthquake. According to Antonio Guterres, the crossings will allow more and faster aid delivery from Turkey into northwestern Syria. Previously, the Bab al-Hawa crossing was the only conduit for delivery of humanitarian aid into the region. Syria is concerned that the border crossings could be used to supply Western arms to terrorists. On Monday, the UN Security Council held a closed-door meeting on the humanitarian situation in Syria following the quake. And here is what the Syrian ambassador to the UN had to say to the reporters following that meeting.
During today's meeting, I conveyed to the Council that the Syrian government has repeatedly expressed its commitment to deliver humanitarian aid to Syrians, whatever they are on the Syrian soil. And I also affirmed that Northwest Syria is an integral part of Syrian lands, and that our people there are part of the Syrian people. And Syria will not accept that they be divided based on lines drawn by terrorist armed groups. Based on that, Syria supports the entry of humanitarian aid into the region through all possible cross points, whatever from inside Syria or across the borders, for the period of 3 months.
The UN earlier also warned that terrorists in control of northern Syria are hampering the delivery of aid by Damascus. More than 4 million people live in militant-controlled areas of northwestern Syria. Israeli violence has taken the life of another Palestinian in the occupied West Bank. 17-year-old Mahmoud Majed succumbed to his injuries after regime forces shot him during a raid in Al-Farah refugee camp near Nablus. That happened the day after a 22-year-old Palestinian was killed by the troopers in the same city. The regime has been conducting raids into Palestinian neighborhoods across the occupied West Bank almost on a daily basis over the past. The crackdown has left nearly 50 people dead since the turn of the year. In the meantime, Palestinian resistance factions have held a conference in Gaza to drum up support for Al-Quds and the occupied West Bank in the midst of increasing Israeli aggression and the use of lethal force against Palestinians. Our correspondent Ashraf Shannon has the story.
Hundreds of people attended a national conference in Gaza, which was organized by Palestinian resistance factions. The event aims to bolster the resistance in Al-Quds and the occupied West Bank. In recent weeks, extremist Israeli settlers and political figures, backed by regime forces, have been violating the sanctity of the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in Al-Quds. Israeli forces have also killed and injured dozens of Palestinians in the occupied West Bank since the beginning of 2023. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas said the resistance in Gaza is ready to support the resistance in Al-Quds and the occupied West Bank.
We will not leave the resistance in Al-Quds and the occupied West Bank alone, and we will back them with all the necessary means. The occupying regime will be able to divide the Palestinian resistance arenas. Last night, we witnessed unity in Gaza, Nablus, and Al-Quds.
Occupied by Israeli regime forces more than 55 years ago, Al-Quds has been at the core of the Palestinian struggle for freedom.
Actually, Al-Quds is not just a word. It's something apart from our heart. So this conference asking and telling the world that this Israeli action against Al-Quds and West Bank must be stopped.
Palestinian resistance factions have expressed their unwavering support for Palestinians in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds. They also vowed to use all forms of resistance to liberate Al-Quds and the occupied West Bank.
We believe that the Israeli government, under the leading of Netanyahu and Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, going to raising up the aggressive against our people in West Bank, in Jerusalem, in Gaza also, maybe in other outside countries also. So we are going to resist the occupation by all kind of resistance.
Observers say the international community has failed to help Palestinians in Al-Quds and the occupied West Bank while turning a blind eye to violations committed by the Israeli regime against them for decades. Palestinians say that they will continue their struggle against the Israeli regime until the liberation of Al-Quds and all of Palestine. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Bahrain's top cleric, Sheikh Isa Qassem, says that the anniversary marking the country's 2011 uprising is an occasion to spread the message of unity. The cleric says that the Bahraini people need to amplify their efforts for change. He blasted the Al-Khalifa regime for marginalizing the people, while he also denounced the violation of rights of political opponents and other dissenting voices held in Bahraini jails. The Sheikh said that some of those being freed from the jails are either physically disabled or mentally tortured. Sheikh Qassem was addressing the Bahraini nation on the eve of the popular uprising that began in the kingdom on February 14, 2011. People in Bahrain have taken to the streets on a regular basis to demand social equality and the end of the monarchy. The Manama regime, however, responded to the demands with an iron fist clamping down on dissent. Russia dismissing an allegation by Moldova that Moscow is plotting to destabilize that country. The Russian Foreign Ministry has censured the claims as completely unfounded. The ministry also blames Ukraine for stirring tensions between Russia and Moldova. It says that Kiev is trying to draw Moldova into a tough confrontation with Russia. And that after Moldovan President Maia Sandu accused Moscow of planning to use foreign saboteurs to bring down her country's leadership. She said that Moscow is seeking to prevent her country from joining the European Union and use it in the war in Ukraine. Now over to the Belgian capital, Brussels, where NATO defense ministers have gathered for a meeting over Ukraine. The NATO chief has promised more support for Kiev after accusing Russia of preparing for new operations.
We see no signs that President Putin is preparing for peace. What we see is the opposite. He is preparing for more war, for new offensives and new attacks. So it makes it just even more important that NATO allies and partners provide more support to Ukraine. We understand that
sending fire... Stoltenberg also says that the alliance should provide Ukraine with the weapons it needs in order to win the war. He says the allies are discussing delivery of aircraft to the country, but he says that the top priority is to send more heavy weaponry and other military hardware. Now, this after Ukraine's president pleaded for combat planes during his recent European tour. Stoltenberg also accused Russia of planning a new major operation in Ukraine. Moscow has set back, describing NATO as a hostile organization. The Kremlin says the alliance is making its involvement in Ukraine conflict even clearer by its comments. At least three people have been confirmed dead in yet another gun violence in the United States. Five others were also hospitalized after a shooting at Michigan State University. Some of them are in life-threatening condition. A gunman opened fire at several sites inside the campus, and he later shot himself dead. The university attack came nearly 14 months after a teenager killed four people at a high school in Oxford, Michigan. The United States has seen a surge in gun violence over the past years, and such incidents have taken the lives of 25 people since the beginning of the year. That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
in the limelight.
In spite of the current emergency situation in quake-stricken Syria and the very dire need to lift the Western sanctions, it is unlikely that the West will change its crippling anti-Syria policies to allow Syrians to merely survive. The economic stranglehold and selective approach to aid Syria will lead to more death and displacement. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. According to Press TV, Ghofran, a 26-year-old medical student from Syria's port city of Latakia, hasn't slept or eaten since the catastrophic earthquake that jolted vast swathes of the country, leaving a trail of death and destruction. While Ghofran was lucky to survive, her best friend tragically breathed her life under the rubble of the building in which they lived. Speaking exclusively to the Press TV website over the phone, she recounted the horror of the apocalyptic day when all hell broke loose. "People are traumatized and U.S. sanctions only make things worse," Ghofran said, adding that people are watching their loved ones die due to lack of aid and equipment. "Tens of thousands of people are presently putting up in makeshift shelters while many are still trapped under the rubble of buildings as the death toll continues to mount. In Syria, most of the casualties have been in northwest of the country, in the cities of Aleppo, Hama, Latakia, and Tartus," according to the state news agency Sana. The massive earthquake, with its epicenter in neighboring Turkey, struck in the wee hours and was followed by a series of high-intensity aftershocks. What has compounded misery of people amid the humanitarian crisis are crippling U.S. sanctions, impeding and obstructing the flow of aid to the earthquake-hit Arab country. Syrian Foreign Minister Faisal Miqdad, in his remarks recently, said U.S. sanctions have aggravated the situation in the country, preventing the delivery of aid. Ghofran acknowledged that the situation was unbearable, with natural disaster and draconian sanctions making their life miserable. "There was no equipment, no vehicle, almost nothing to help rescue my friend and others stuck under the piles of debris," she told the Press TV website, adding, "The U.S. is killing my people, the Syrian people. When will the world understand that they need to do something about this? Until when do we have to live under sanctions and suffer?" Ghofran said it was really tough to recall everything that happened that day. "I heard my friend, she was calling out for help from under the rubble, but I was unable to do anything. I started lifting some rocks with my bare hands and calling for help at the same time. I was having a nervous breakdown," she recounted. "My friend died, with me standing right above her, helplessly. If we had what it took to bring her out, she could have survived." Ghofran told Press TV website that she and her friends remain in shock as they know more of their friends and relatives are still trapped and battling for their lives. The medical student and her friends have been trying to help in some medical centers, also donating blood, or doing anything they can to save as many lives as they can. Sarah, a Syrian journalist, speaking to Press TV website from one of the shelter zones in Latakia, where people affected by the quake are staying. She said she had not witnessed such a devastating natural disaster during her 11 years of activism.
She added, it has added more devastation to the already devastated country, describing the present situation as catastrophic. She said people are in trauma, the aid is too little to cover their needs, and the situation is really painful. The children break my heart. You can see trauma in their eyes. The journalist said local paramedics and firefighters are trying to help, but the scale and magnitude of the catastrophe is massive and requires more rescuers, especially in cold weather. Thank God I was not affected by the earthquake myself, but I saw it with my own eyes, she remarked. I have to tell you, it is deadly cold here, and I cannot imagine how will people survive under the rubble with no food or water for days. People in Syria cutting across social and economic lines have been directly or indirectly affected by the earthquake, the worst in several decades. Millions of people have not only been inflicted by the earthquake, but are also going through enormous pain to see their loved ones under rubble, while they stand helpless and the world watches in silence. Syrian actor Mine Abdul Haq told the Press TV website. He said the Syrian people are aware of what is happening and they realize that the United States is not only indifferent to their plight, but is also weaponizing the natural disaster against them.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of prophethood based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. And we are focusing on certain phrases of the first sermon where Imam Ali alayhi salam explains about the situation of the people at the time when the messengers and the prophets came. And he talks about a situation whereby these people, they kind of forget or they interpolate and change that promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been addressed to them. And that promise, he says, he goes on to say, لَمَّا بَدَّلَ أَكْثَرُ خَلْقِهِ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ إِلَيْهِمْ. That when majority of the people, they start to change that promise of Allah that is there on them. And then this has got results. فَجَهِلُوا حَقَّهُ. So they became ignorant of God's right, number one. Number two, وَاتَّخَذُوا الْأَنْدَادَ مَعَهُ. They started to take opponents for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They started to believe in opponents. That means they believe in other entities that can legislate apart from God. وَاجْتَالَهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينُ عَنْ مَعْرِفَتِهِ. And the third effect was that the devils, they began to block the people from knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said previously that this means that now the people don't realize their ignorance with regards to the rights of God. This is a very bad situation.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, when we talk about these devils or these Satans that block the path from knowing God, we don't necessarily refer to Iblis, the one who didn't bow down to Adam. No, we don't refer to him necessarily. Yes, he is one of those. But Satan is a vast term in Islamic knowledge. In the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to refer to Shaytan, okay, of this entity called Satan, he says, Shayateenul insi wal jinn. He says, there are human Satans and there are, jinni Satans. Satans that are both of the humankind and the jinn kind. So that means a human can also be a Satan. And other things can also be Satans. So Satan also refers to anything that takes you away from the path. Any force of corruption, any force of misguidance becomes a Satan. So this force, this negative force that can cause misguidance, corruption of the soul, okay, disruption in order, and all of these things, these negative forces that bring negative effects, all of them are referred to as Satan. Now these Satans are also of two kinds in one way. Some are within the human being and some are outside the human being. Those Satans that are within the human being include issues like desires, like self-centeredness, okay, and other things that are within. You know, these desires, especially anger, all of these that a person follows them and they take him away from his direction, his true aim and goal in life. These are Satans, basically. They kind of cause a person to go into the wrong path. So some Satans are within the human existence. Some are outside, like the dictatorial rulers, the kings, the misguided priests and scholars, all of these, yeah, or maybe a scenery that attracts a person to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that maybe entices a person towards, let us say, the opposite gender and go towards that direction. All of these are Satans, the different forms of Satans that are, in Islamic terminology, these are called Shaytan.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, when you talk about some of these shaitan especially, they might not be bad or evil intrinsically. So for example, the desires that are within us are not evil intrinsically. They are good. They are there for a purpose, and that is for a person, let's say, to satisfy them in a positive way, through marriage, through, for example, the right things, by eating the right types of foods, let's say, the desire to eat, when you talk about the desire to eat, or the other forms of desires of the lower part of the body. These types of desires are all desires that have a positive dimension to them, but they can be used in the wrong way. But there are certain things that are that are bad, that are bad themselves. Of course, there is nothing like complete and absolute evil, but they have intended evil for mankind. Sometimes when we talk about these, we talk about these evil rulers, or we talk about shaitan, let's say, or the devil, or that Iblis himself. You see, when you talk about Iblis and we talk about these types of entities, they've actually geared themselves to misguide mankind completely. But other things are not geared for misguidance, but they are geared for another purpose. These are people who have geared themselves for misguidance. And of course, they are tests which people need to overcome. As I said, there is no absolute evil. And therefore, all of them can be taken as tests and they can be converted into opportunities to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now, as I said, there are these internal devils and there are those external devils. Now, when a person follows his desires and doesn't have a bridle over, those internal, excitements and those internal feelings and those internal outstretches that maybe force a person towards committing a certain thing, then a person becomes gullible towards the influence of these external shaitans. And therefore, a person needs to be careful so that he doesn't fall into the trap of these kinds of entities. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد مجيد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. in the limelight.
According to the U.S. media, the level of suicide among American youth is devastating. The suicide rate in the United States has increased by about 30% from 2000 to 2018, and this is the highest suicide rate among the rich countries of the world. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. CNN Cable News Network has covered this story and tells us more. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has released data showing an increase in suicide rate in the United States. CDC data showed on Friday, 10th of February, that after a two-year decline in the number of suicides, those deaths went back up in 2021. The data showed that 48,183 people in the U.S. committed suicide in 2021, indicating a year-on-year rise compared to 45,979 deaths in 2020 and 47,511 deaths in 2019. CDC reported that the record high for suicides in a single year came in 2018, when 48,344 Americans took their own lives. The report noted that there was a disparity between the different races and age groups in the United States, and the number of suicides among the youth and black Americans was significantly higher than others. The CDC specifically pointed out that the number of young black Americans who have committed suicide over the most recent three-year period was alarming. The report stated, suicide rates among persons aged 10 to 24 years increased significantly during 2018 to 2021, particularly among black persons, from 8.2 to 11.2, a 36.6% increase. The report noted that particular concern with younger black Americans is mirrored among the 25 to 44-year-old age group of different ethnic groups. Hispanics also saw a 19.4% jump, while suicides for non-Hispanic multiracial Americans in that age range rose by 20.6% over the same time period. Julie Goldstein-Grummet, Vice President and Director of the Zero Suicide Institute at the Education Development Center, told Yahoo News, "It's much more helpful to understand data at this segmented level because it really helps us to design the right research and the right interventions for the future." She called the figures disheartening, adding, "It's challenging to realize that in some populations, suicide is just growing so exponentially. In the meantime, suicide is four times higher in men compared to women. Experts attribute this to the fact that men are more likely to use lethal means and have more difficulty in seeking mental help." The Center for Disease Control, the CDC data, fails to provide a breakdown of the deceased by their social status and level of income. In the United States, suicides have been cited as a leading cause of death. USA Today has also covered this story and tells us more. A federal analysis found suicide rates increased and disparities widened in 2021, returning to pre-pandemic rates after 2 years of decline. Notably, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC's analysis, found the rate of suicide among American Indian and Alaska Native people increased 26% from 2018. Followed by black and Hispanic people, who saw 19.2% and 6.8% increases respectively. CDC researchers said the data raises concerns over access to care and pandemic struggles. The lead author of the report, Deborah M. Stone, told USA Today, "We know that certain groups have been already disadvantaged and have had inequities in suicide risk during COVID-19. These increases are very concerning and point to the need for really some dedicated prevention efforts targeting those racial and ethnic minority groups using culturally relevant programs." The CDC analysis released recently compared rates from 2018 to 2021. In 2021, 48,183 people died by suicide. According to the report, that year the overall age-adjusted suicide rate rose to 14.1 deaths for every 100,000 of the population, returning to the peak seen in 2018 of 14.2 deaths per 100,000 population. In 2020, the rate was 13.5 deaths per 100,000 population. American Indian and Alaska Native people had the highest age-adjusted suicide rates at 28.1 per 100,000 of the population, up from 22.3 in 2018. Suicide rates among black people increased from 7.3 to 8.7 per 100,000 of the population. Among Hispanic people, the suicide rate increased from 7.4 to 7.9 per 100,000. Black children and youth aged between 10 and 24 saw the highest increase, 36.6% of all age groups and racial groups measured. American Indian and Alaska Native people aged between 25 and 44 saw a 33.7% increase. Asian people saw a 1.5% relative increase, which the report noted was not statistically significant. White people were the only group that saw an overall decline of almost 4% compared to 2018. The suicide rate was 17.4 deaths per 100,000 in 2021. The lead author of the report, Stone, and her colleagues wrote suicide rates might be stable or even decline during a disaster, only to rise again afterwards. As the nation continues to respond to the short and long-term impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, remaining vigilant in prevention efforts is critical, especially among disproportionately affected populations, where longer-term impacts might compound pre-existing inequities in suicide risk. CBS News has also covered the same story and tells us more. According to estimates published by the CDC's National Center for Health Statistics, preliminary data suggests suicide rates in the United States had not significantly improved overall through the first quarter of 2022. However, rates varied widely in several states for 2022 compared to 2021. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has long tracked disparities in rates of suicide. In 2020, even as suicide rates declined amid the first year of the pandemic overall, the agency had found suicide increasing among Hispanic men and non-Hispanic multiracial women. The report's authors wrote, "Suicide is a complex problem related to multiple risk factors such as relationship, job, or school, and financial problems, as well as mental illness, substance abuse, social isolation, historical trauma, barriers to healthcare, and easy access to lethal means of suicide among persons at risk." Citing an analysis published in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, the authors also cautioned that suicide rates have been seen rising after other disasters, even after appearing to immediately plateau or fall. The authors of the report wrote, "As the nation continues to respond to the short and long-term impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, remaining vigilant in prevention efforts is critical, especially among disproportionately affected populations, where longer-term impacts might compound pre-existing inequities in the suicide risk." The report breaks down the data only by age and gender, but previous CDC data has shown that some groups are more vulnerable than others, including Native Americans, veterans, and those living in rural areas. Mental health has also deteriorated significantly among the youth during the pandemic, with more than 40% of teenagers saying they persistently felt sad or hopeless during the past year. Major pediatric health groups have declared a national state of emergency in children's mental health. The new national suicide hotline, 988, saw a 45% spike in calls in the first week after its introduction in July of 2022.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. This hadith is about retribution or qisas. This is a topic that has been mentioned in many places in the Holy Quran. For example, in one place in the Holy Quran, we read, "There is life for you in retribution." This is a very famous verse of the Holy Quran. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Maybe you will be God-wary. لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Also, in another verse, we read, a sacred month for a sacred month, and all sanctities require retribution. So should anyone aggress against you, assail him in the manner he assailed you, and be wary of Allah, and know that Allah is with the God-wary. Also, and in it we prescribe for them a life for a life, and an eye for an eye, a nose for a nose, and an ear for an ear, a tooth for a tooth, and retaliation for wounds. Yet whoever remits out of charity, that shall be an atonement for him. Those who do not judge by who Allah has sent down, it is they who are the wrongdoers. So in this connection, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam said the following. He said this with respect to the verse we recited, there is life for you in retribution. He said, he explained why this is so. Imam said, because whoever intends to kill and knows that he will be punished as a result and refrains from doing so, there will be a new life for the person who he intended to kill. For the criminal wanted to kill, and the life for people other than these two who know that retribution is obligatory and they do not dare kill for fear of retribution. Similarly, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, Allah ordained faith to be purification from polytheism and retribution to act as prevention of bloodshed. Finally, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, revive retribution. Ihyul qisas, revive it, and revive the truth, and do not disperse, meaning do not be disunited amongst yourselves. Be Muslims and submit, and you will be saved. These are the things that can save you: retribution, unity amongst yourselves, and submission to the orders of Allah in general terms. These are all acts which can save you, and you will be secure from all dangers, both in this world and in the hereafter. But of course, a retribution is an act which is higher than it, and that is forgiving the retribution. The Prophet said, whoever forgives blood money, their reward will be nothing short of heaven. And the Prophet said, any person who is afflicted on their body in any way and will remit this out of charity, Allah will elevate their level and demote their mistakes. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at retribution in the words of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.